Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Operation Nevada was the umbrella name for the weekend protests against Governor Steve Sisolak's stay-at-home orders. The protesters gathered in Las Vegas, near Las Vegas. They were in Carson City at the Capitol building. Nevada's stay-at-home orders were put in place March 31st, and the state seemed to have a peak, at least at this point, in hospitalizations and deaths on April 7th. So we're going to start there in our Monday Mayor's Conversations. Hillary Sheevy is on the phone from Reno. And Mayor Sheevy, we're very glad to have you on Insight with us. Welcome.
Good morning, Beth. Thanks for having me.
So with the protests in Carson City, what is the atmosphere in Reno for reopening versus observing the stay-at-home orders?
Sure. Well, right now we're all under the governor's directive. So we've just been sort of waiting for his guidelines to come out. I know he's working with a broad group of physicians and healthcare workers to roll out the plan. So, we think that's great. We want to make sure that obviously we're paying attention to the data and looking at the numbers of cases. Every state obviously is very different. Certainly in my city, it's very different than Southern Nevada. So we want to take a very cautious approach and practical approach.
So I'm seeing in Washoe County a little over 600 positive cases with 16 deaths. Is there any update or change to those numbers?
Yeah, so this morning they had updated it to 18 deaths here in Washoe County. So it is still trending, obviously, upwards. But I have to say I'm incredibly proud of our state. I'm certainly proud of our city. Everyone's been really following the directive of stay at home, practice social distancing, and we know it works. We've looked at the models from when my city originally closed businesses, and those models really were trending quite high at looking at numbers of deaths in the hundreds. And so we know what we've been doing is working, so we need to stay the course.
There are statewide priorities and goals, and we've already talked about the stay-at-home orders. For Reno in particular, what do the priorities look like, and where have you tried to target some specific relief?
Well, that's a great question. I think, it's like every city in America right now. Everyone is trying to certainly, get more testing. It's just been one of those things that's been incredibly difficult. And so it's important. Every city is different, as we've clearly seen across the country with various hotspots. And someone sort of explained it like this. It was actually a medical doctor and said, look, right now we might have these embers, but if you throw gasoline on them, then they clearly ignite. So you have to be very methodical in your approach. And it's hard because a lot of people, sort of are getting cabin fever and saying, when are we going to open up? And we have to really pay attention to the data and the science of what's really happening. Now, every city is going to be different. So it's important for mayors across the country to look at their data and see what it is that they have to really sort of define what their areas of pain points are going to be. And so we have really I'm really proud of our city. We were the first city to close businesses. And so I think we have an advantage that we have sort of bought ourselves some time to prepare, our healthcare workers, our infrastructure, testing, really ramping up those kinds of things. And I think we've been pretty aggressive and it's been successful so far.
Is there pressure on you from some of those businesses to at least do some soft reconsideration, sure, if not reopening?
Sure, absolutely. And I'm a small business owner. I actually own, two retail stores here,
right,
in our city. And so I clearly understand, sort of the anxiety that happens, right? Because the fear is very real on both sides. And so we want to make sure, again, that if we are going to do this slow rollout, that everyone is paying attention to the guidelines and really following that, because we want to also make sure that we're not all going back into self-quarantine in, September October, you know. So we really want to make sure that we're doing it thoughtfully and have a very guided approach. And I think one thing that a lot of people may not realize is cities are typically used to seeing fires and floods and things of that nature. We're not typically used to public health crises. And so this is the time to really collaborate with your healthcare partners, your hospitals, and the experts in the field. And so it's really important to get their feedback, their data, and their participation at the table. And that's what we're doing.
Mayor Sheevy, I haven't seen a roadmap from Nevada at the state level or from Reno that says here are the steps to when we can reopen. But where is testing for you, and where is it in your requirements for your city to feel like it's safer to open the doors?
Right. That's a great question. And certainly, you know, everyone's talking about antibody testing and trying to see, you know, have you had the virus? Have you been exposed to the virus? But like every city, we are having complications with just trying to get more testing. And so that makes it incredibly challenging. But those are the things that we're looking at. And we also want to make sure, because as you're starting to hear, some of those antibody tests are, you know, there's various ones, and some can be, you know, highly inaccurate, right? So you want to make sure that when you're going to roll out that approach to mass testing, that you have the exact right approach and the right kits, to be honest with you. We're seeing some kits come in that didn't even have the swabs. So we have to make sure that we take this approach that is very particular and how we do this. And I think you'll see the governor in the next day or two start to have a guideline of what cities can follow throughout Nevada, which I think will be great, because I think it's going to provide clarity. And I think the businesses have to have that type of clarity of what that looks like. We have to realize that doing business is going to look very differently. It's much like when 9/11 happened, we started to travel completely differently, with metal detectors and taking off our shoes and things like that. This is going to be similar in the approach that masks will be required, social distancing will be required, hand washing will be required. And I think the one thing first and foremost is also getting our healthcare workers tested, our essential workers tested, and those people that are in the community that are still, you know, surrounded by other people. So that's sort of the approach we're taking. I think the governor is doing a great job, and he's really paying attention to the data and looking at, you know, it's different cities. You got to remember, northern Nevada is very different than southern Nevada. So our rollout might be completely different, but it will be extremely defined of what that looks like. And it's going to be slow, but it's the time for businesses to prepare if they have to provide masks, those kinds of requirements, things of that nature. So just starting to prepare and what it looks like and following those guidelines are going to be critical.
Okay, just a quick yes or no. Are masks, is face covering required right now in Reno?
It's not required. I came out with a directive a couple of weeks ago, and I would like them to be absolutely essential and required. That still falls under the governor's directive. I've been really messaging that masks are, you know, essential if you're going to be taking that trip to the grocery store or going to get gas or things like that. And we're really starting to see sort of our community really rally around that. And you're also starting to see people say to me, hey, you know, I went to this grocery store. They weren't wearing masks, and I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm going to go to a grocery store that is wearing masks. And so we have really been, and I want to, you know, be very clear when you say masks, it can be face coverings like bandanas or scarves, things like that, right? You can still have a face covering that can be effective. And we know that, you know, that can help if you are the shedder. So you're really protecting someone else. But if we're both wearing masks, we think that that is a great precaution.
Okay, Mayor Sheevy, thanks so much for joining us today. We'll connect Thank with you, you again in the future. I appreciate
you.
Your time, and take care.
Stay safe. Okay. Bye-bye.
That's the mayor of Reno, Nevada, Hillary Sheevy. Now we're going to shift to Stockton, and the mayor, Michael Tubbs, is back on the phone with us. Welcome back to Insight, Mayor Tubbs.
Thanks so much for having me.
We have had a robust conversation this morning on this program about cases and testing. Where is your city and your county on the matter of testing? And where are you in terms of what the capacity should be, Mayor Tubbs?
Absolutely. I think like every other city in this country, to open up, to allow small businesses to work again, to allow us to get back to a sense of what normal used to be, we have to have more testing. So we're thankful on that. Last week, I think it was, we partnered with the governor's office and Verily to bring testing, free drive-through testing to the city of Stockton and the county of San Joaquin. And with Verily, we're able to do up to 200 drive-through tests by appointment only a day. Which is a great start from where we were in terms of free community testing, but there's so much more testing that we have to do. So this week, we're talking to other testing companies and also doing our best to figure out how do we increase testing capacity in our city. But like every other city, I think we're very frustrated because we were told a couple months ago by the White House that everyone who wanted a test would get a test, and we're not there yet. And not to be redundant, but the only way we'll be able to truly open up is when we have, I think I read something from Harvard doctors over the weekend that said we need to have at least three times as much testing capacity in our country so we can open up safely. So we're working extremely hard with our partners at the county to bring more testing in and to allow the hospitals that are doing testing to procure the supplies needed to test. And we know that we have work to do, but we're excited to be one of five counties with Verily testing, which allowed us to increase our capacity last week.
So in Stockton, you've got the Stockton Strong COVID-19 Fund. You have Nourish Stockton, which is a food project with Alice Waters and the Edible Schoolyard. You were involved with Project Roomkey in terms of housing some of the unsheltered, and the testing that we're talking about. Are there any gaps? Is there a target where you've got to focus some effort right now?
Yeah, I think there's primarily three gaps. Number one, we know our small businesses are hurting. We know that a lot of people applied for the SBA funds and they ran out of money. The funds ran out of money. So we're working, and this week we'll have an announcement around some announcement around small business help for Stockton businesses in particular. But we know even that there'll still be a lot more to do. We also know that there's going to be a gap once we come out of this crisis in terms of housing and in terms of education. On the housing front, we were in a housing crisis before COVID-19, before the coronavirus, and although people can't be evicted in the next couple months, if people aren't working, their rent's compounding, then in 3 months, 4 months, their rent will be due. So we're working diligently to figure out how to expand rental assistance in the city, and also how do we use this opportunity with Project Roomkey to actually look at purchasing hotels so we have permanent supportive housing for our neighbors who are homeless. And then on the education front, we know that there's already achievement and opportunity gaps, and we're just worried that those could be further exacerbated by distance learning when every kid doesn't have a quiet place to learn, where every kid doesn't have access to reliable internet, where every kid doesn't have the ability or the opportunity to really sit in front of a computer with no distractions for hours to get their instruction, or may not have parents, because either their parents are essential workers, et cetera, who are going to be there to help them. So we're having our eye towards the future as well, but in the immediate, we know it's definitely our small businesses and also our seniors and those who are undocumented / those who are in poverty who didn't qualify for the federal stimulus, who still need help in meeting basic necessities.
Before I let you go, Mayor Tubbs, what kind of pressure are you feeling from your local economy to reopen or to partially take steps toward reopening?
Absolutely. I think, I share this with our folks all the time. Well, first, I'm going to say I'm thankful for how the residents of our city have complied with the stay-at-home ordinance. Our models, our projections, our curve looks radically different than it did a month ago. And I think that's due to individual actions and sacrifice everyone's making. So thank them for that. And brother, I get 10, 15, 20 emails a day about let's open up, let's open up, let's open up. Last week, we had a teletown hall with small business owners, about 100 of them, saying, let's open up, let's open up. I get the urgency and I get the need, but I also understand as a public servant that my first priority is the safety and well-being of the community. And I take no pleasure. I don't think anyone enjoys being at home and not being able to have the mobility we're used to. I don't think anyone enjoys not being able to go to their mall or to their favorite restaurant to eat in. I don't think anyone enjoys people being laid off and people not being able to provide for their families. So this is not fun for anyone. So as soon as safe to open up, we will be open up and running, but not before it's safe to do so.
All right, Mayor Tubbs, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for your time today for us on Insight.
Thank you.
And take care. That is Stockton Mayor Michael Tubbs. Before we go to break, we want to do a quick check-in with Sac State President Dr. Robert Nelson, because those college acceptance letters are going out right now with a lot of unknowns about the fall. Dr. Nelson, glad to have you back with us for a few moments.
I'm glad to be here.
How do you advise students to make decisions to look ahead to the fall?
We have to be very careful in what we're advising, because we do not have the answers at this point. We know that this summer we're going to be online. We know that this summer we've canceled all events on our campus. And we don't know exactly what's going to happen yet. So we tell them to be prepared to be online, but also be prepared to have hybrid classes and to move from online to face-to-face classes.
So does a student go forward in trying to secure housing at this point, or is that all in flux?
It's been very interesting. Our housing deposits are up 11% over last year. So students are already making those decisions on them on their own. I think a lot of parents want to, if there's going to be classes, they want to have them on campus. They know that we gave refunds and that, so we're trying to work with them as quickly and as effectively as we possibly can.
You made a decision about ACT and SAT scores. Would you clarify what the situation is with these standardized tests?
For 2021, we will not be using those tests. This year, the Smarter Balance test that the juniors would have been taking, they didn't get the chance to be able to take that test. They're not able to take it. The next scheduled test isn't until June. So it doesn't make any sense to go forward. We're going to be accepting no credit courses for the A through G, something that we haven't done in the past. So we've had to change our admission standards quite dramatically. But it's for a one-year time period. We don't know what we'll do after that, and it is for 2021.
Is this throughout the CSU system, or is this an independent Sac State decision?
This is throughout the CSU system, all 23 campuses.
Okay. And you did make a determination about graduation. Sounds like you won't be having that virtual ceremony.
We will have a virtual ceremony, but we won't have a face-to-face ceremony. So we are putting together a virtual ceremony where they will get to hear the normal speeches. I hope they're a little bit shorter. Each one of the students will be able to post something about themselves and who they are and what their future is looking like. They'll be able to see themselves. They'll hear their names called off. We'll actually have the alma mater sung and the Star Spangled Banner as well. So it will be virtual, but in the spring of next year, we hope to walk those students on their own special day.
That's what I was looking for, because there is a plan in the future for everybody at some point to be able to walk.
Yes, there absolutely is. We'll have a day and a half just for this graduating class this year.
Okay, anything else we need to know as we begin another week, and actually the fifth week of California's stay-at-home circumstances?
Well, I think you should know that the students are succeeding. We just ran a report this week to see how many students had left and were not finishing their classes. And out of 31,000 students, only 31 students are not taking their classes and moving forward. So I'm really proud of our faculty, and I'm proud of the students themselves.
That's remarkable. All right, I'll hang on that good news for a while, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Beth.
Thank you, Dr. Nelson. That is Sac State President Dr. Robert Nelson. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have an ice cream uplift for you, so don't go away.